Solomon, who took his place. David knew he was young and he was tender, and David was laying out all the groundwork for Solomon's ministry and reign. When Solomon began to build the temple, who God allowed, he had all the preparations made by his father. And so all those things were done. David did, here's what I'm saying, David did what he could. You know, everybody here don't preach. Everybody here, I can't sing. Everybody here maybe can't sing, or you can't do certain things that you feel like limits you. But I promise you, we can do what we can. And when David saw that, he said, bless God, he said, I couldn't build it. He didn't say I couldn't lay up for it. And so he stockpiled it, and Solomon has something. But watch this then. In 2 Chronicles 5, I do want to read two verses here. When Solomon's prepared the temple, you know, the most important part of that wasn't the material, and it wasn't how it looked to the heathen or how it even looked to the children of Israel. The most important part of that was the glory of God. And if the glory of God would rest on this place, souls will be won, people will be ministered to, lives will be changed. All these things, people will be impacted that we don't even know today if the glory of God rests here. Watch what happened. As Solomon prepared the temple, verse 13, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. Watch now, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. And I think I can say it on behalf of Brother Ike, that's what he'd like to see. The glory of God, Brother Donnie, the glory of God rested upon the house. Amen. That's the difference maker. And so when they praised him, God inhabits the praise of his people, doesn't he? So it's no time to be bashful or shy. To praise him and worship him moves him. And so we want God to come by and blow, and the glory of God to rest here for many, many years to come. Amen. Till he comes back. And so may the glory of God be upon this work. And no doubt God's going to bless each one of you for your part in it, and Brother Ike for the dream and the vision that you have. There is no vision. The people perish. And God gave our brother a vision. And so we thank God for all he's done and all the preparations. And so it's a place to worship. Amen. And that's what we want to do.
Well, I'm just going to say a few words. I'm just so glad to be here this day. I never knew, I didn't know, but I had this reason to build this building, and I can know it. All of you that know me, you know that the reason we retired over here was because of this church. Now, this building, not any building, but because of the church itself. This is my wife's home. She's from here, but that's not what influenced our decision to retire over here. God called me to preach. Always said that if I cannot preach myself, I'll find a man who does preach, and I'll back him with all of my heart. And so that's been my desire, and that's why we have retired over here. And we love it, we've enjoyed it, and you've been such good people to us. I just thank God for it. What a glorious building that we have. Now, the tabernacle in the wilderness was the place where God dwelt. He said, I want you to build something. Moses, build it just like I tell you. And whenever that thing was dedicated, was ended there, the Shekinah glory of God came down into that thing. God's presence was there, and that's where the high priest went to God. Now, the temple that Solomon built, David said, God, I built this palace, this glorious palace of mine, and you're dwelling in curtains. But by then, the old tabernacle was getting pretty old. And he had that desire to build that house, but God had called Solomon to do that. David was a man of war. When they built that glorious house, and that temple, by the way, is a picture of the second coming of Christ. The tabernacle in the wilderness is a picture of the first coming of Christ. The temple, in its greater glory, is a picture of his second coming. Amen. And so when they went there to minister to Brother Well, it said that the glory of God fell upon that place, not just in the Holy of Holies, but it filled the temple so much that it blew the priest back out there in the yard. Amen. And in John chapter 1, we read this: the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt, if you look it up in your strong concordance, it is translated the tabernacle amongst us. Next verse says, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, he took up a new residence, and that was in his church. That's where he abides today, in his church. Oh, we thank God for the building. It's glorious. Amen. But he abides within the people of the church. And that's why I'm here today, and that's why I'm so thankful to be here today for the people. So I would say, God bless you. Thank you that have supported Brother Ike all of these years, because I know it's not easy. You're going to find very few preachers, just a handful, that have ever been anywhere 40 years, over 40 years. 10 years is as far as I could ever get without finding a way to hide. But I'm so grateful for you coming today and supporting this place, this people, on this glorious day. Best thing I can say to you now is give your heart to the Lord. I spent the first year of my salvation trying to figure out how I could do something for God. In that process, I overlooked what he was trying to do for me. Amen. The biggest obstacle to God, for God to do anything for us is us. Quit trying to do and let God do what he wants to do.
And the God of all comfort speaks peace to my soul. When the God of all comfort speaks peace to my soul, rough seas are calm, the wind ceases to blow. There's no reason to fear when the God of all comfort speaks peace to my soul. When the God of all comfort speaks peace to my soul, rough seas are calm, the wind and the wind ceases to blow.
God bless everyone of you for coming. Got your Bibles, turn with me. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. I used to carry two Bibles to the pulpit a good bit. And this one, it's gotten pretty worn. It's one I was using by the time we started another church or started another church. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 2, and I want you to come back, so I don't want to be long. I won't promise for sure, but I'm looking in the Word of God. May it bless the Word, read the Word of God by hearts. Just want to read three or four verses in chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 2. Verse number 1 says, therefore, or to give them earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgressor that disobedeth received the just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect
so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to the will of God. I want to try to share a few moments this morning on this great salvation. Folks, say nothing like it. It's wonderful, it's marvelous, it's glorious, and a question that I've never, you can't answer no other way, but he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't reject the Lord. I'm not against the Lord, but yet they neglect him. Did you know you can neglect your salvation even as a Christian? And you can neglect it, even not a Christian, because of the fact that you're not doing anything about it, what you hear. He said, whatever you heard, be careful that you don't let it slip. Many times you've heard, and maybe and you haven't responded. But this great salvation is wonderful. Nothing like it. It's great, first of all, I want to say, it's great because the author of it. Hallelujah. You know who the author is, don't you? The author is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in the book of Hebrews, it says in verse number 9 of chapter number 5, and being made perfect, he become the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. And so this salvation is great. You know why? Because of the author. Because the author's great. If you read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1 and 2, verse number 2, he had in the last days spoken to us. Verse number 1 said, he spoke us in time past by his prophets. But he said, now he's speaking to us by his son. This is the one that's the author of salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, that by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholded all things by the word of his power. Yeah. And when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so this salvation is great because we got a great Savior. We got a great one that's the author of it. The Bible said salvation to the Lord. You know the prophet Jonah? He cried out in the whale's belly. Yes, he did. He cried and said, Lord, he said, salvation is of the Lord. Everything about it is. Listen, it's salvation to the Lord. That's why it's so great. It's a gift. The Bible says, listen, it's eternal. It's great because it's eternal. Eternal Son of God became man. You think about this. He that was God became man, that we could become the sons of God. Can you imagine that? That's our Savior. That's the eternal one. That's the author. He's the author. And the Bible said also in the book of Hebrews, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author of this salvation. He's the finisher of it. And thank God this salvation, it is. What did he say? Did he say temporary? No. He said he's the author of eternal salvation. And so salvation is great because it's eternal. Hallelujah. It don't stop, glory to God. These bodies may go in the grave, but the real you's going to live on somewhere. Listen, either you're going to live in eternal life or eternal death. And I want to plead with you today, because this salvation's so great, don't neglect it. Don't put it off. Don't say, I'll do it later. It's God. If you ever get out of your dead and trespassing and sins, if you ever get anywhere, listen, it'll be because God, in his sovereign mercy and sovereign grace, he is the author of salvation. And I want to thank God. It's great. It's precious because, hey, it's eternal. said he's the author of eternal salvation. You ever get to the place where you can say, Lord, it's you, I'm going to trust you. What he says, it is of them that ought to obey him. What's the obedience? When you trust him, obey him. By faith, lay hold of it and say, Lord, I do believe that you are my salvation. I could turn several passages, I'll take time to go to the book of Psalms and Mark a bunch of it, where he talked about the salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Ain't no need for you to argue with God. When you listen, no need for you to tell God, listen, you didn't get up no fuss with him, honey. I'm going to tell you something. He's God. And I'm going to tell you, if he's got his call on your life, you might as well get busy. Quit running. There's no way to escape a wasted life if you neglect what God has done for you. It's great because it's eternal. It's great because it's a gift. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of the sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift. It's just a gift. You'll never get good enough to earn it. It's a gift. That's why it's so great. We got such a wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Made the worlds, upholds all things by his power. All the glory of the Father. He's expressing to the Father. You know, when James, Peter, and John was on that mountain of the transfiguration, they wanted to stay up there. Well, you would have too if you'd been up there with them. Or when the glory of God began to shine, his raiment became white as snow, they said, Lord, let us build a tabernacle. And even Moses and Elijah got up there with them. He said, I thought they dead. Dead. Hey. Ain't nothing dying but the body, honey. Hey, we got a home. I was thinking about old 2 Corinthians over the 5th chapter. You know what it says? Verse number 1. He's just talking about things not seen. He said, well, I haven't seen you heard the things that God prepared for them, but you know that he's revealed them to us through his spirit. He said, the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen eternal. That's what he said. He said, don't look at those things that you can see. Oh, we can see. God, this world's got us bogged down, but the things that we can't see is eternal. You know what I said in that first verse of chapter 5? For if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. You know what? What a house. What a house. Salvation's great. I'll tell you what, the best thing ever happened to you if you ever tasted it. Taste the Lord and see he's good. You know what I had to do the night later I got saved down in that old gospel tent on the salt, going down that sawdust trail? It was out of the Bethlehem Highway. I told Carol, I said, we gotta go by and tell Mom and Daddy. Daddy'd been knowing Mom and Mom and Daddy'd been knowing what that was for years. I said, now I know what they're talking about. Folks, she's real. Salvation is great. It's good. It's great. What a wonderful salvation. Don't neglect it. Please don't. Don't neglect this salvation. Great call is eternal. You know, something else is eternal. Hey, we got a perfect Savior. That's what I said in verse number 9. Ready? We'll go to become the author of our eternal salvation and all of them that obey it. We got a perfect Savior. He's perfect. Never sinned. Never. Perfect. What happened? God took his sins, my sins, and put them on him. Give me his righteousness. He took my sin, because he never had me. Now, I want to tell you something. If that's not a great salvation, I don't know what it is. Now, I want to tell you something. I sang that song all on my radio. Called it back when I used to hear Daddy sing. It is no secret. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Oh, yeah. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And don't neglect this salvation, because if he'll pardon you, or either if you don't, and listen, if you don't receive a pardon, it'll be punishment. You say, oh, God's too good. No, he's too good not to. Tell you something, this world wrecked for sin. But can I tell you something? It's not going to be in heaven. It's going to be a wonderful place. You know what I was thinking about the other day? That house that God prepared for us in heaven. Eternal. Not made with things. That new body. The Bible said he's going to change our mind. That's part of redemption. Now I want to tell you another verse that took the Hebrew from my time to get around. He said Jesus went in not the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood he entered into the Holy of Holies to obtain what? Eternal redemption for us. That's why our salvation is so good. It's eternal. And it's eternal redemption. You know, I read another verse over in the book of Psalms that said, mercy and plenteous redemption. There's plenty of. There's plenty of blood to wash your sins away, and mine and everybody else's. Thank God. There's plenty of redemption. That's what it is. So he says, you know what this body's doing? The bodies in the graves are doing? They wait. They are redemption. They've all, the price has already been paid. Just like it has for your sins. That's why this great salvation is. It just don't include the spirit and soul. Glory to God. It includes the body. What's he going to do? The Bible says he's going to change our mind. Body is fashioned into his glorious body. Don't say that's a great salvation. Don't say it's a great salvation and get him up out of the graves. Escape? Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, there's no escape. Jesus said, I'm on the way of the truth. No. Except. You come God's way, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way to the Father. No other way. You know what? He said one place over in the scripture, and saved us by from our own dead works. You know what dead works are? Our own pride. Do our own. We're trying to save ourselves. That's dead works. How's a dead man ever going to do anything? Did you know I'm dead in my trespasses and sin? This is dead works. I'm walking around physically alive. Either living for the present, dead works, you live. All you're living for is present, you're dead. You know where real pleasure is? Hey, I know what some old timers shout about. taste a little seeds do, but it got a taste of it. Drink of it. They rejoice. And I'm going to try to close with this. Not only is it a great salvation, but it's a salvation that you can rejoice in. Don't neglect it. What does Psalmist David say? Psalmist David gave the man of God from all the trouble that all that. Now we get it all. But you know what he said in Psalm 51 when he's repenting of it? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy. Whose salvation? Thy salvation. It's God's salvation. But you know what he said too? He said in another place, God said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't neglect to work it out, because he said also, because it's God that worked the word in you. See, it's his salvation. He works it in us. It's our responsibility to work it out. You don't neglect it. But you know what, Joy? I'll tell you what you do. Get you the borders and look at that joy. That joy and salvation. It's over and over and over. You know what they would do? They would rejoice. He said, Habakkuk. He said, though the fig tree is not putting anything out on, though there's no fatted calves in the stall. He went on some other thing, but you know what he said? Yet I will rejoice. In the dark times, even in the darkness of the night, we still joy. That's amazing. Amen. Joy. Amen. You can be the joyfulest person in your life. Although you may be walking through trouble, you may be walking through trials, you may be walking through tribulation. Some of you know exactly what I'm saying. You know exactly how it is. You'd be left by yourself. Okay? You know how it is. But you know what I found out? God can be ever so close and near to you. Listen, he'll feel loneliness, emptiness in your heart, in your life. You can still have joy. You know what you can have? Joy that's unspeakable and full of what? What you have by the grace of God. It's a great salvation. It's one you can enjoy. Oh, some people, I can't go to the Lord. I just wouldn't have no fun. I couldn't have no peace or no joy, and it couldn't be, have no happiness. That's the only place to do it. You can get full of God, full of His Word. Listen, you get up in the morning, won't have no hangovers. You get full of everything else. You can try all the things the world's got to offer, and you get up, listen, you'll be a dragon. But I'm going to tell you something. If you get full of God in this great salvation, He'll strengthen you and give you joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. That's what God will do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't God good? Isn't He wonderful? Marvelous. Salvation great. Because He's a great Savior, great author, and a great finisher. Hallelujah. Salvation is great. Amen. Because it's eternal. Hallelujah. Salvation is great. Because it's free. This is a gift. Not only a better way to say, you know how to have money to buy. You can be a broke. You can not have a dollar or penny in the bank. None in the bank. No salvation. It's a free gift. Hey, excuse my language, but that ain't great. I don't know what it is. You know what? makes it so great? To be saved. That means he can save that that need anybody think he can. Now I want to ask you this one. Have you never been a time in your life when you said, Lord, I'm gonna turn my life over? I don't know any better prayer than to pray, but I can't even tell you who did it. But God come and put an arm around me. I was in the altar crying, broken. All he said, just pray, God be merciful to me. And I did. And you know what I found out? He was mercy to me. But you got to realize, I did myself. Cast it aside. Come to me. Don't waste it. And I want to close just trying to say this. If you a house you can escape, you can't, there's some things you can't escape. Listen, if you ever get saved, simply this, you're going to have a waste of life. I know some people are not always including themselves, some of you may waste time. Do everything like the Lord does. Understand? You don't come to Christ. You don't accept this great salvation. No way you're going to escape the wasted life. It'll be over. It'll be gone. They got the one shot. He said, teach us none of our days. Five months to wisdom. Nothing you can't escape. You'll not be able to escape that awful place that happens. Not escape that place. Listen, everlasting punishment and all of that. You not escape that place which is called the lake of fire and brimstone. Read it, it's in the scripture. There's no way of escaping. If you just get accepted, it's great. Salvation. Don't worry about it. Say the Lord. God's got a real purpose for your life. Find it. He does. Find it. Don't waste it. Don't neglect it. You can't escape. You'll escape. You know what? You see these signs? One there, one that goes into a building, and one exit, and one there, and goes out. Both goes outside. This great salvation. Not going to come back again. He paid the price for us to save and to cleanse you and I from all our sins. Give it. You can. It's better. My God is. And he wants you to do it. Would you stand with us? Thank you for the word of God. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior.